All right, here we go. We'll get started with today's Christmas service at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. I'll ask everybody to go ahead and filter on in while we start the worship portion of today's service. Welcome all our visitors. And I haven't seen this much red since I don't know when. I guess everybody got the memo, Miss Sandy. So good to see everybody. Please grab the Heavenly Highway Hymns, the Blue Book as we call it, and we'll start with number 35. Blessed Assurance, 35. All right, let's turn over a few pages to 152. Since today is the Sunday before Christmas, let's do this one, O Come, All Ye Faithful, 152. Thank you.
Brother Sam. Good job this morning. Enjoyed the good singing and playing this morning. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out for our service today. Merry Christmas is what I better say before I forget it. And I hope everybody does have a really good Christmas season here over the next few several days. I know most people has it before and after and during. Excuse me. So it will last for a little while is what it will do. And I just pray everybody has a good, safe Christmas is what I hope you do. And I just pray that everybody will just be blessed greatly by God. The last song we sung, I want to refer to it just for just a quick moment. Did you notice, and a lot of times we just take for granted some of these words in some of these songs. These songs were not written just for the Christmas season. Do you realize that? But there's a phrase in that last song that it says, come, let us adore him. Now, this kind of goes along with our Sunday school lesson this morning. Brother Stewart brought it out, how that we ought to be putting Christ first during this time and letting the Lord have his way in praising Jesus. But what does it really mean to adore him? Think about that for just a moment. Most of the time, if we adore somebody, 9 times out of 10, it's like one of these little children. We look at them and we just adore them, don't we? We think about how that they are so special, how innocent they are, especially when they are babies is basically what we do. We adore their innocence, their cuteness, their sounds that they make, and we just adore that. So what does it mean to adore God? Think about that for a moment today. What does it mean to adore Jesus? It really means to just to think on what he is. Not only think, but just to take it into our hearts. What he is, what he really was, even as a child. Now, basically, as we sing that song, we generally think about the birth of Jesus is what we do. And like I said, we generally think about adoring children in that same form and fashion. But the actual fact is we should still adore him so much. We ought to love him so much at this present time that it's fresh. That it's fresher than it was last week or fresher than it was last year. So we want to adore him more and more is what we want to do. It is good to see each and every one out today. We appreciate everyone coming out for our service today. We'll be going to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. But before that, we'll do our children's church at this time. Brother Sam is over here. Children, if you will, come right ahead, please.
All right. Looking good. Looking good. How's little Luke? Is he all right this morning? Is he all right this morning? Is he good? Today? Well, happy birthday. That's awesome. He's saying hello to everybody. All right. I won't keep you too long. I know you're busy. I've checked your schedules. What did we talk about last week in the picture? Remember? Well, I must not have made an impression, did I? We studied about the oxen, okay? And they're tied together with something. That's what we said we would talk about today. What is that that's between them there? Y'all know? Say it. It's wood, that's right. It's a piece of wood. It's called a yoke. That's very important in this picture because the animals are tied together and they're bundled there in such a way that they're doing the work. And in this picture, it's a symbol of something, and it's a symbol of something that's also talked about in the Bible. It's a symbol of being in service, okay? So they're pulling a load, they are under burden, and they're doing some work right here. And it's just a symbol of service. And we talked about the animals. And what do we notice about them? They're about the same size, right? Same size, so they'll have the same strength. Real important, they're going in the same direction. And in this instance, you know, they're both about the same temperament. One's not wild and bouncing around off the walls, and the other one's real lazy, but they all have the same attitude and the same character, okay? Because they're doing something there that's real important. It wouldn't be good, Ben, if one wanted to go to the left and one wanted to turn around and go the other way, would it? They wouldn't get anything accomplished, okay? So you think about that in our service to the Lord. You know, if that's us and the Lord there, we've got Him to guide us, and He knows what speed we need to go. If that's you and somebody else, some other Christian in there, you've got to have the same mindset. You've got to be going in the same direction, obviously. And you need to be in a situation so that you make it real pleasant for the job to get done. Now, there's also a verse in here, in the Corinthian letter. It's real important. It says this. It says, don't be yoked up with an unbeliever. In other words, what he's saying is that you need, the person you need to be doing work with needs to be of the same mindset, of the same belief, and so that you can get something accomplished. Because he said in there, you know, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness and evil with good? So you have to be yoked up in a way to do the job real efficient. And that's what was happening here, okay? And so always remind that. Now, one thing we'll talk about next time, they can't see the guy that's guiding them. How do they know what he wants them to do? Think about that question. How does he know? He doesn't have anything attached to him to tell him. Think about that. And while you're thinking about that next time, there'll be a test next time, okay? So stand up and we'll see the first part of that verse, okay? 2 Corinthians. Say it loud. Whatever I say, you say. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sam.
While we continue to sing, let's turn to number 43. First, second, and last verse. 43, excuse me.
Thank you.
Good. All right, let's turn back a few pages. Number seven. What a meeting in the air. Y'all's voices are certainly in fetter this morning. I had this song come to my mind yesterday as I'm trying to think on things. This was one of my, both my grandmothers loved this song. Won't It Be Wonderful There, number 135. Let's do the first and last verse, and then we'll sing our last number after that.
Thank you.
our last number. I had thought that since it is Christmas, our last number here will be a couple of verses of a well-known Christmas carol, number 155, Joy to the World.
Sam, thank you, Miss Rachel. Thank you for the good singing this morning. Anybody got a word of testimony on your heart this morning? Don't ever think that I want to be the one that stands up all the time. If the Lord is leading, please follow Him. I don't want us to hinder the Lord's cause. He's got a reason for everything that He does. So let's remember that when we are in our services. Let's pray that the Lord will help all of us, not just me. I want you to pray for me that I'll do what the Lord would have me to do, but I want you to pray that you will do what the Lord will have you to do also. It's good to see each and every one here today. We're going to take our reading lesson, if nobody has anything on your heart, from the from the fifth chapter of the book of John. Fifth chapter of the book of John is where we'll take our reading lesson, short reading lesson. And you're going to kind of wonder how this is going to come together as far as this with the rest of it. But I will try to bring that out, Lord willing. And I ask that you pray for us today. In John, the fifth chapter, and we're going to read just verse 36. But he says, Jesus doing the speaking, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Now that's reading verse 36. That's going to be our reading lesson. We're going to take our thought, or a portion of our thought today, from 1 Timothy, the first chapter. I'll give you right just a moment to get over there. But 1 Timothy, first chapter, and another verse that we quote quite a bit is found in verse 9. Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And the actual thought today is going to be, to what purpose? To what purpose is our actual thought today? And when you look at John 5, 36, and then this verse, you kind of get to a question, well, what purpose are we talking about? In the past several weeks, and I've never been a preacher of occasion, you heard me say that many times, I've never preached a series of sermons before, but these have lined up somewhat in many ways. A few weeks ago, we talked about the name of Jesus. Before that, we talked about the announcement of Jesus. Before last week, we talked about the ones that testified of Jesus in this world. And now we're down to a point of, to what purpose did Jesus come? As we think about the birth of Christ in this coming week, and as Brother Stewart brought it out clearly today in our Sunday school lesson, and I want to invite everybody to come out to Sunday school. We've got some good teachers, and you'll enjoy learning about Jesus if you will. But Brother Stewart brought it out very well today that we need to be thinking about Jesus this coming week. I know it's a busy time. Paula's drop out drove me crazy. Your wives have too, right? No, I'm kidding. She ain't drove me crazy yet. But the idea here is that we generally have these things to do. We're planning on gifts. We're planning on food. We're planning on family get-togethers. And those things are good and great. That's my favorite part about the Christmas celebration, is being able to get together with family and be with them. But the most important part is remembering Jesus. That's the most important part. Remembering why we celebrate this season. It is important for us, and I'm going to say it this way. If you do a blessing before your meal, make sure that you remember Jesus in that prayer. If you pray before you go to bed, remember that birth in that prayer. If you have a special time that you pray during the time of during your day, make sure you just remember that little child that came into this world. Or maybe it's just a time when you're definitely in need. Other night when we saw that wreck, there was a portion of time right there. Oh, Lord, help. You ever got that situation? Honestly, at that moment in time, I did not think about the birth of Christ. But the actual fact of the matter is, every moment of our lives, we should remember Jesus and him being born into this world. It was not the most ultimate thing that Jesus did while that he was here on this earth. It was not the greatest thing. But it was the beginning of everything that Jesus did. And without that birth, we still are not saved. Do you realize that today? Without him being born the way he was, there's no salvation today. So he had a purpose when he came into this world. Now, I know that this verse 9 here talks about another purpose. I want you to think right quickly today. Why do you think that Jesus came to this earth? I'm going to say the vast majority of you kind of had this verse in your mind. The words of Paul in 1 Timothy verse 15, when he said Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was probably the most and the majority of the people probably had that thought on their mind. He came to this world to save sinners. And that is very, very true. We should be also thankful for that very thought today, that he came into this world to save sinners. Now, Paul added to that term, of whom I am chief. Now, I'm not going to argue with Paul. I'm not going to argue with the Word of God because I believe it's very true. But I have to think myself that that I was next in line. I don't know where you fell in line, but I felt like I fell right in behind Paul if I didn't beat him. Now, that's a common thing for each and every one of us who are sinners in the sight of God. We are sinners. We are that evil one. We are that wicked individual that God has come or has sent his son into the world to seek and to save. That's the other verse that comes to mind. When Jesus came into this world, he made this statement. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, many people today, they will take the, actually misquote it just a little bit, and they'll change that word that to those, is what they'll do. Hey, it's still true. Jesus did come to seek and save those which were lost, but his actual statement was that which was lost. Do you realize today that God wants to have, and I'm going to use this word, I don't like to use it much, but he wants to have a relationship with you. He does. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have the very same kind of relationship that he had with Adam and Eve before that they transgressed the law of God. What was that relationship? The Bible says that God communed with them. He came down in the cool of the day and he walked with them there in the garden. I believe in my thinking of the way that it's talking there, God had a personal relationship that included walking and talking with Adam and Eve. But when that man sinned, that relationship went away at that moment in time. He still wants to have that kind of relationship with his creation, with mankind. He still wants to walk and talk with you each and every day. I want you to understand today that God wants that to happen. And the only way that that can happen is if you're born into the family of God. So what did Jesus come for to do? He came to seek and save that which was lost. He wanted you today to be in that kind of a relationship with him. Many people use the term having a relationship as being one, well, I go to church on Sunday morning. I may do church works during the week. I'm constantly talking about God. But the actual relationship is one that is on the inside, the one in which that God has changed the inward man. Now, the scriptures today, as we look about back toward different parts of this, and we want to look at his purpose when that he came into this world. If you go back over to the first chapter of the book of Mark, you're going to see how this relationship had to start. And you see it in the words of first, I'm going to back up and say, first of all, you see it with John the Baptist. He came into this world preaching, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But here in this first chapter of John, in the 15th verse, Jesus saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, in order for the for an individual to turn away from sin, they've got to believe the gospel is what it says here, right? He says, you've got to believe it. So how do you hear the gospel? Well, in this day and age, You hear it from preachers like me, from Sunday school teachers that are teaching you the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're hearing it from the church members that are talking about the goodness and the mercies of God in their lives. You're hearing that gospel come through them. But where did the gospel start at? If you back up one verse, it says Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That was his purpose. He came into this world preaching the gospel. You might say, well, I know the gospel is what we find in this book. Many people will say, well, it's the good news of God. Yes, it is, in both accounts. But the good news of God is that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. That was his purpose when he came into this world. But the fact of the matter is, the gospel was much more than just the fact that he came to seek and to save them which believe the gospel. You know, it was more than just believing these words. You had to believe him. You see, in the sixth chapter of the book of John, you have a scripture here that says in verse 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. What did Jesus come down here to do? What was his purpose? To seek and to save that which was lost, to save sinners. That was why he came. But the fact of the matter was, he came into this world to do the will of God. Now, if you go back to our reading lesson in the fifth chapter, he said he was a burning and shining light. That was not talking about Jesus, by the way. That was talking about John the Baptist. But, I'm on the wrong verse. Let's go back to verse 36. But I have a greater witness than that of John. He was that burning and shining light. For the which works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is found in the Word of God. It talks about him coming into this world. It talks about his birth in that day. We talked a little bit in Sunday school this morning, and one of the thoughts that I had in my mind, I brought up one of them, but why did, Brother Stewart asked this question, why did the angels go to the shepherds? Well, I told you a couple weeks ago, it was because they wanted to announce the birth of Jesus, right? But it was also necessary that they might go see. You see, every sinner that's here in this house, it's necessary that you come to see Jesus. Well, you can say, well, he's not here. Well, he's not here physically, but he wants to be in you, so he expects you to go look for him. And if you go look for him, you will find him, because he is searching for you also. And if he is searching for you, he will find you if you trust him. I want to use for just a second, go back to the terms of the shepherd as Jesus brought it out. He said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if one of them go astray, he said, what one of you will not leave the 99 and to go and search for that one lost lamb, is what he said. And he said about that, he said, that's the way I am. Now, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, I've left the Father's house to come and to seek those which are lost, his purpose for them. So his gospel was he had come to seek and to save, but he came doing the works of the Father, which was the Father's will for them. He wanted us to see those things, just as he wanted the shepherds to see the Son of God, just as he wanted these individuals to see the works that he was doing. Yeah, it was miraculous for him to cause a person that was blind to see, right? That was miraculous, wasn't it? Someone who was lame, that was something that was miraculous. It was a miracle, in other words. It was a miracle for him to feed the 5,000 and the 3,000 and the 4,000. It was a miracle for him to do those things. But these things were done that you might believe, is what the scripture tells us. That you might believe. So his purpose was to live his life here upon this earth doing these works. But was that the only works that he was supposed to do? No. Brother Stewart brought it out this morning in our Sunday school. I didn't have these things in my mind. Brother Stewart planted them there. The Lord is using them today. The fact of the matter is, when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, we always talk about the phrase, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." Now, the actual thing here today is, I want you to realize what Jesus was doing all the way through, even when it came down to the part where he was being beaten, where he had been betrayed, where he was hit by different individuals. When he was hung up on the cross, he was doing a work. He was doing a work that had been brought out that you might believe. That was his purpose here on this earth, to set it up where that you might have the opportunity to believe. Now, I'm going to kind of change gears just a little bit, but I want you to think about something today. Why did God send Jesus into this world? To preach the gospel. To show the gospel. To live the gospel. But there came a time when he had to go back, right? He had to go back to his Father. And he said, if I go back, go not back, he said, the Comforter cannot come, didn't he? He wanted the Comforter to come down and to help somebody. You see, a lot of the world today wants to say, well, a church is just a building that you meet in. A lot of people wants to say it's just a body of people that's come around in a place and they meet and worship together. But I want you to understand, a church is a greater thing than that, because it is a picture of Jesus. Oh, yes, we are. A true church is a picture of Jesus. It reflects his light into the world. It reflects to them. So what else did Jesus do while he was here? Most people today, they will tell you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. But actually, there was a little bit more to it. It was the setting up of his church in this world. Wait a minute now, preacher. That's doctrinal stuff. That's not gospel. Do you realize today, without the church, many people would never hear the gospel? You think about it. Would you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ without the church? Before you answer that in your head, I want you to realize who Peter, James, John, and the other disciples, or the other apostles, I should say, who they were. They were his church. And as he set this up, these men went about preaching the gospel by the power of God, by the Spirit of God. He said, that comforter that is coming in is coming unto you. He said, it's going to reprove them. He said, first of all, of righteousness, of sin, first of all, of righteousness and of judgment to come. He said, he's going to reprove you of all of these things. But how's he going to do it? Through the preaching of the word of God through his church. Yeah, we've got all kinds of denominations in the world today. I want you to think about that today. Where did they come from? There's only one true church. I want you to understand that today. Amen. There's only one true church, and that's God, Jesus, or Jesus' church. That's the only one. And Jesus left his church here for a purpose. Two, to continue to spread that glorious gospel unto us. In Ephesians letter, I want you to look at the second chapter and start with verse 19. He says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God. Now this is where we're getting to. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and of the prophets. Remember what I said a while ago, who was the church in Jesus' day? It was the apostles. What did Paul say? God first placed into the church apostles. He said, you're built upon the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And if you do not understand what a chief cornerstone, it's what holds the foundation together. Jesus said when he was here upon this earth, he had asked the disciples, whom do men say that I am? They had their different things that people said he was. Then he said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus makes this statement, and upon this rock I will build my church, is what he said. It wasn't the rock that they were standing on. It wasn't Peter, as much of the world tries to say that it was, even though his name Peter meant stone. Actually, it's just a chip of a stone. A full stone is Christ himself. He is the full foundation unto all the world that the church may stand upon. He said, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. That's why you are a part of the gospel. You as a church today, here at Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, you are part of this foundation that has been, or rather this building that has been built upon the foundation of the apostles and of Jesus Christ. That was Jesus' purpose. But the entire idea of the entire thing was this, that they might be saved, was Jesus' intention. That should be the cry of the church itself. Come and seek Jesus that you might be saved. Pray to him, call upon him until that you know within yourself that God has saved your soul, that you have it completely in your heart. And there only is where you'll find sweet salvation. Then following the Lord in baptism, following the Lord in the work of God, building upon that foundation. Paul also said in the Corinthian letters, he said, men may build on I'm paraphrasing this because I didn't go look at this verse, but he said, you may build wood, hay, and stubble upon a foundation. But he said, and it may be gold and silver, or even brass or copper, you might say. But all of these things are nothing without the help of God. And unless you're building upon the true foundation that is there. Brother Sam, that's going to be our message today. We want to give an opportunity for those that are lost here today to seek the Lord. We always say the altar is open to come and seek the Lord. We'll pray with you. We'll do whatever we can to help you. But you need Jesus more than anybody else is what you need. Why did Jesus come today? He came to save the lost, the sinners. Why did Jesus come? That you might have a full, complete relationship with Him. Now, I'm not talking about just a casual relationship. I know on Facebook, there's a lot of people who say, I'm in a relationship with blank. You know what that means is they may be a boyfriend or girlfriend. Hey, I want you to be more than just a friend. I want you to be a child of God is what I want you to be. In full relationship with God. While we stand and sing it this day, if you're here today and you know you're a sinner, today's the best day you've ever had to get saved. While we sing.
193. 193.